morning. This past week's daf was daf Samach Beis, fifth parak Maseches Ksubis. We learned in the Mishnah on Samach Aleph on the Beis. There are three parts to the Mishnah. We're focusing right now on part 2 and 3. Right? The Mishnah says, HaTamidim Yaisim Yitamu Toh Shalosh Shushloshim Yoyim En Pe'alim Shabbos Achas. This part of the Mishnah is telling us that even though there's a Chiyav Oino, nevertheless, that the Mishnah talks about two groups. Talmidim, that even though the Chiyav Oino for Talmidim is Ach Pamachas B'Shavua, nevertheless, there could be Yoytz in the Talmud Torah Shiloi B'Shus for Shabbos Achas. And there'll be a bittul to the regular Chiyav Oino. Akoponim, Tamidim Yotzim Shloishim Yoyim. Shloishim Yoyim, right? So there's a bittul in the Chiyav Oino. And Poyalim is Shabbos Achas. The Chiyav is Beis Poyalim. Now the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah talks about the Oino, what the Oino is, and it is a lechara, a ha'ora, that lechara, the order of this Mishnah, lechara would have seemed to be that it should have been reversed, right? And as you first tell me what the Ikra Chiyav Oino is, and then you tell me the din that Yoytzim Bishos, which is a halacha in Bittul Oino. So that is a question. If someone has a thought on that, you hear that ha'ora?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the bottom Tosis over here speaks out as far as this first part of the Mishnah. Hatamid miyotzim shlebishus lamidyem peyam shams nachas piyush vidosash miinon the afal gav the minhogam hoyelilmoi velasis melocha biirom. Even though both of these groups, whatever their occupation or whatever they were doing was beir. For ina hamura b'toyro talmud chochos merv shabbos of shabbos kli migmora. That's a gemora. Ule poyalim shtayim b'shabbos k'tikoni seifa. That's the mishnah. Afilu hochi yichelim lishanais mimin hogom v'lotzeis talmidim lamed yoyim upoyalim shabbos achas. Which lechora means like this, that what this halacha is that it's they have the right to be mishana mimin holom. That means that the stamazay to be mevatel from oina, what a person can do, right? But being that the oina is dependent on min holom, on the way they're conducting themselves. Limud pu'ula. So according to that minug that they're switching to, then attack a different oino is justified. That's not the ikim minug. So that's why initially the chiv oino was not established according to that. But the chiddush of the Mishnah over here is that they have the right to change minhogam. Now, to change minhogam over here, kinirat, doesn't mean on a regular basis, l'choira. This is just a kinirat. It looks like it's a one-time thing. That's what it would seem. Because the Gemara later on discusses about someone who's permanently changing changing his occupation. That's not so simple. This looks like what this is. It's a one time thing. But like, as we're speaking out, that the point over here is that the bittul is because we allow them to conduct themselves temporarily. Api the new minig, and api the new minig, then it's taka justified. This aina.
Rabbi Tosis mentions va'aina hamura b'torah.
Right.
But I don't see a pasuk. What pasuk is referenced?
The pasuk is the pasuk that we came across. It says by Amavriya, Shere Ksus v'nas la'igra. That's the pasuk over there. is the source, and the pasuk is coming to say that even over there, the yid of a amavriya, that she should be treated no less than a regular wife. That's the pasuk is saying over there. But that's what we learn from over there. The chiyuv and the raya shesherek susfaynosa. Question we saw what these things refer to. Oinosa is pretty much, I think, agreed on what it means, and that's the chiv oina. Mm-hmm. So it's a chiv deraisa. It is a chiv deraisa, but exactly how the chiv plays out, that's Chazal were kaveh, established what that is. And that chiv, it's mevul from the sugya, and that's what the poiskim tour says that the general guidelines of the chiv is totally on availability and physical strength. All right, so that's why as the Mishnah continues in the latter part of the Mishnah, that according to the occupation, if the occupation is such that the person is not available, so that makes an adjustment on the chiyuv oino.
Is that why they call it oino? Just occurred to me. They use that, the Gomotori uses that lashon.
I didn't think so. Maybe that's a new time.
But still, even with that pasuk, it doesn't lo yigra. It doesn't say kol shavua.
That's what we just spoke at right now, right? That's what we just said. The concept is in the pasuk, and exactly how it plays out. That Chazal or kaveh, right? Chazal established. I mean, he just explained that what the guidelines that Chazal used for. Now let's see. That's what we just spoke over here. That's the first halacha, and then the sefer of the Mishnah goes into more pratus of the ha'oina amura b'torah. Zok the Mishnah the following: Hatayon b'chol yoyim. There's such a bracket of a person. We'll see in the Gemara who that refers to. But this tayolim, this b'chol yoyim, type of person that has the availability and the lifestyle that he's leading is one which is he's not weakened by his occupation. Maybe he doesn't have something, that whatever it is, but that's what this tayolim is, and we'll tell us, we'll see exactly different sheet is exactly what that refers to. Hapayam shtayim b'shabbos. These are payalim shtayim b'shabbos. Tosfos told us that minhogam lasis malachtan v'irum. That's what this refers to. Hachamor machas b'shabbos. Chamorim, they are people. Rashi says, "Yotzin kforim havi tful limker b'shuk." Chamorim, these chamorim have to see about this, that what's the cause of their of the difference, right? Is it because they're not around, or is it because of the Terech HaDerech, right? Of the Tircha, since they're traveling, right? So that's the what causes the difference. Okay, Hagamolim Achas Shloishim Yoyim. That would seem to say that what factors into over here is the fact that they're not around. Hasafonim, achas shishi chadoshim. That's definitely because they're not around. The Rebbe Lezer. Okay, so these are two parts of the Mishnah. Now let's see the Gemara. On the bottom line over here, on Samach Alfam Beis, Zotimur Hatamidim Yoytzim the Talmud. Shalei Bishus, the Mishnah says Shleishim Yoyim. Zotimur Bishus Kamu. Zotimur, if they're going Bishus, if they grant the Bishus, means that the wife is being moichel on their shibu that they have to her, the shibu of Oino Kamu. How long could they go away? On that Gemara says, "Rabbi, come the boy." I mean, if Rabbi's being moichel, so then there's no shivut over here. So it's whatever they want. What's the difference? What's the question? Zok the Gemara, uchad milsa kama. Zok Rashi, der cheretz shloisa olav chet vafil hu yochel lefatoisa shetit lechushos. Zotig Mor and Nochinami, as far as his shibud, if she's meichel, she's meichel. However, we're talking about over here is that there are cherets. What's proper, even if it's not a question of his shibud, that what's the proper thing as far as the needs of his wife, you know, even if she's being meichel. That's what the more wants to know, right? You know, what's the derech eretz even with rishos?
How do you understand the chet?
So I thought the chet was referred to, like the Meforshim say that even though she's meichel, but it's still that there is a tzar factor that she has.
Okay.
Right? Anyone have a different understanding on that? Yeah, okay. On that tomorrow, Omar Rav, Chodesh Kama Chodesh Bebayis. That a month here and a month away. That's what Rav Shita is. Basically, switching off months. Shenemar, Rav brings a source to the Pasuk. Pasuk says over here, L'chol var hamach l'keis habo v'yoytzis chodesh b'chodesh l'chol chalcha shonu. Rav has a pasuk over here, which are referring to the service that the different groups did for David HaMelech. And in this pasuk, there is a mashmois that it was set up in the way that it was a chodesh doing the service away, and another month back home, a month for a month. Now Rashi discusses over here that where do you see in the Pasuk such a thing? If we read the Pasuk itself, Rashi Bavorns just only makes a reference of a month, a month from a year. Chodesh b'chodesh b'chodesh b'chodesh. So Rashi, let's see the Rashi over here. Rashi says as follows. L'chol v'amachkos habol yoha yoytzis chodesh b'chodesh. Grashi, divayomim B'divra hayomim b'machlekoi shahi wa'edim ez dovin kol machlekois chodesh. Now each group of people, it was a large group, but they were divisions. The afal gav Rashi bavon like this. The afal gav mashmusa din yon a mashmus lehoya poirish mi beisei elo chodesh echad bashanu. Sokt Rashi that one could ask that the mashmois really of the psukim would seem to really say that it was a month out of the year. That was the service time. Therefore, you can only learn from over here that a month away, true, you know, that you can learn that such a thing, but the interim is 11 months. And Rav learns over here that one with the Uchad Milsa, when you have Mechila from, the person has the Mechila, he could work with a system of a month on and a month away. Enfit Rashi. Rashi answers, Rav kol yisera dahavo v'ayoytis dorish. So Zok Rashi, that in a chanami, that even though maybe the Pashas HaKro would not be so clear that it's every other month, but Rav, there's a yitur in the pasuk, and that's really where it's coming from. Rav kol yisera dahavo v'ayoytis dorish. Dahavo l'michtov that would have been sufficient if that's what it was referring to. You know, the months would have referred to each group, right? As each group has their month, right? that's what mashmois is. The pasuk mentions about coming and going month by month. So that is where Rav sees mashma shahu shtei machlekes nitzavim umishorsim. That would be mashma that we're working with two groups. Shemishorsim im hashaar. Zu vav chadashim bedilug, v'zu vav chadashim bedilug. That mashma of yetsis, the coming and going, would be mashma that there was a constant coming and going of the group themselves. And if that's so they, therefore there was a every other month, right? Vav chadashim bedilug. Every other month for 6 months during the year, zubov zuyaitzis midei chodesh bechodesh. Every month there was a coming and a going. Hari chodesh beveis hamelch v'chodesh beveisoi. Okay, so that's how Rashi explains what the mashmois is. Now that's what it's there. Right? Now Rav learns from there. V'afkan chodesh bebayis beveis rabbi v'chodesh beveisoi. Now the hanocha of the Gemara over here is, and we're learning up derech eretz. So the hanocha of the Gemara is that the machlokos for the service of David HaMelech was set up with the sensitivity of the derech eretz, and therefore we could learn from over there that whatever was done over there was within the guidelines of the derech eretz, and that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why we're learning from over there that, you know, a month on and a month off is that's within the guidelines. Zok Timur Rabbi Yechanan Amar Chodesh Kan Mishtayim Beveisi. Rabbi Yechanan argues and he says that a month on and a month off, that would not be Bechlal the Derech Eretz. That's too much. That's being away too much. And therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says it's a cheshbon of chodesh kan u'shnayim b'veisei. That to be away for a month and then back home for 2 months. That's such a rotation. Being away once every third month for a month. Shenemar, he brings a pasuk. Chodesh yu balvonon, this is by the Boinei Shloima Beis HaMikdosh. Chodesh yu balvonon, shnayim chadoshim b'veisei, the pasuk says. 1 month in Levana, doing the the service of working on the Beis HaMikdash, Shneim Chadoshim B'Veisei. Zok Rashi, Ushneim Chadoshim B'Veisei, Ho'ish B'Veisei. Back, B'Veisei means Ho'ish B'Veisei. Shneim Chadoshim Ho'ish B'Veisei. Sherei Lama Elaf Ish Hoyo Hamas. That was the amount of people that were involved in the service. 10,000 a month. Acherim. That's the pasuk. Kishemachalfim, when they would switch, elu holchim, these would go. Aseres alofim. Kishemachalfim, elu holchim. Aseres alofim acherim. That when these would leave, another 10,000 would take them over. Uvachodesh ashlishi, the third month, aseres alofim. Shlishis, a third group. Nimtzu sha'amdu harishen b'veisim beis chadoshim v'chein kulam b'chalufeim kain. If we're working with 30,000 people and 10,000 a month, so that's the cheshbon that they were only each group was called to work, came back to work once every third chaydesh. So that's the cheshbon of working one chaydesh and the next 2 months.
I didn't look up the pesukim, but it sounds like the pasuk then, reiterates and does the calculation for us. I mean, it sounds like Rashi saying that the pesukim over there say that there were 30,000 and they did 10,000 per month, and then it comes and tells us, you know, one chodesh in Lebanon and two chodashim at home. So it kind of comes and actually,
yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have two periods of time that there was a service that was done, and this service required people to be away from their houses, and there were two different ways of how it was done. One was done in a month on and a month off, and that was by David HaMelech, and by Shlomo HaMelech, as far as the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it was done with 1 month on and 2 months off back home in the service. As Machlokes Rav Rambam Yochanan, that in learning the Derech Eretz, where do we learn from? Now the Gemara asks, "V'rav nami my time aloy Omar mehahi." So the Gemara asks the question that in the Sugis Hashas, many times this is how the Gemara when you have two sources or something. So the Gemara asks that why this man the Omar chose to learn from here more than from there. Now over here, what we need to think about is as follows: that if we're looking for derech eretz, right, what is still within the guidelines of derech eretz? So really, that if you have one pasuk, right, which says one amount and pasuk says another amount, so it would seem to suggest that. If you want to, you will learn from the one which gives more leeway, right? Right? Is that enough?
Right.
So I don't know if the word leeway was right, but so therefore, when the Gemara asks Rav, why did Rav learn from over there? Right? You have to know what's the question. I mean, right? Assuming that everything was within the guidelines of Derech Eretz. And, so that means that this is This is what it was. Right?
Why didn't Rav say 2 months?
No, we're asking. We're saying that, because he has a source. Because he has a source that Derek Eretz allows 1 month. Right? So you could understand that the Gemara's question really is maybe just like sort of a contradiction in the two practices. You know, if at this point we're assuming that the reason why it was set up in that way is because they really, you know, would have liked to have everyone there as long as they can, but it was their heritage which was what forced them to give this. So then really, you know, we had like a steer in the psukim over here, right? You know, right? So maybe that's how to understand the Gemara. That until we could explain why this is Derech Eretz and that's not based on Derech Eretz, so we have the question, right? You know, they're both psukim over here, Derech Eretz, right? So that means that the Gemara understands that there really essentially is a contradiction in the two psukim. And you have to, the answer to that is that one pasuk is really Derech Eretz and the other pasuk has other factors. Right? So that's really what the Gemara wants to know, right? Fact the Gemara that how does Rav understand? What did he learn from this pasuk and decide that the other pasuk is not being guided by Derech Eretz? That's what the Gemara means. So what we're saying is like this, is that the Gemara initially is understanding that what decided both of these things was just Derech Eretz. Because of Derech Eretz, the limitations of Derech Eretz, that's why it was like this and they weren't working longer and more often. That's the assumption of the Gemara. Now, which essentially is really a contradiction in these two sources. And the Gemara's question over here is that why did each man the Omar decide that no, this is the Derech Eretz and the other pasuk is based on other factors. So let's see. So the Gemara says like this: V'rav my timely Omar me'ahi. So the Gemara Roshani binyan beis hamikdash de'ef shai de'acherim. So what the Gemara essentially is answering over here is taka this. According to Rav, when Rav has these two psukim, these two situations that they acted differently. So obviously, one was governed by Derech Eretz, and one was because of other reasons. So Zot Gemara, Rav understood like this: is that by Shloimeh, it was Binyan Beis Hamikdash. So over there, Zot Gemara, that there were plenty of people available to do it, and therefore, the schedule was not based on how far they could stretch their participants, because they had plenty of people. So therefore, so that's how it played out. So Mashenken by Shloimeh, where we find that there was a different cheshbon by Shloimeh, it was a month on and a month off. That was because the taka they didn't have as many participants by David HaMelech to over there. So over there, they really would have wanted to stretch their usage as much as possible. And it was Derech Eretz, which was the deciding factor. So that's why they learned the Derech Eretz from over there. So that's why, according to Rav, a month on and a month off, that's still within the guidelines of Derech Eretz. This that we find that by the Binyan HaBayis was a looser schedule, was not because Derech Eretz was mechayev that. That's because they didn't need to people so often. Zok Rashi sheefshal deyachem lefi minyan achlif is kacha yoelim. That just came out according to who was available and who how much work they needed. They were able to be looser. That sheet is Rav. Rabbi Yechanan zokte gemor, Rabbi Yechanan my time, Leom Ahi, Shani Hosam the Islay Harvoch. Rabbi Yochanan, he answers the Stiras Hapsukim, the Kanyum, in a different way, and he says that the truth is that it really was Derech Eretz, really, which essentially was deciding both things. However, the Oivdei David, they received a good stipend, apparently, and that's the svar of the Gemara of Rav Chabesa. So over there, that with a comfortable stipend, that the Akeres Habayis has what she needs. So then the Derech Eretz, which, like we're saying, that if the Derech Eretz is her feelings, even though she's moichel, but if there's compensation on them, then one can handle it better. And therefore, as far as we're concerned, right, the halacha of the Talmidim Yoitzim, that form of compensation wasn't given. Right? I mean, it's, of course, you know, there's the schar from that is great, but that is not exactly what's needed to do the job in this situation. Important to know that, right? And therefore, so that's what we have over here. We have two sources that without compensation, then that's the cheshbon by Shlomo. Shlomo, you know, they apparently was not supplying that type of compensation, and therefore, so the ikar derech eretz is kaved. That's a cheshbon of one and two, and with compensation, then one could to work a one and one schedule.
So according to Rashi, and we were learning, why can't chamarim go away for even longer? I get the hagacha.
One more time, what's that? What's the
meaning? Meaning Rashi's saying, because we're learning this by Talmidei Chachamim, so what's the difference between serving in the army and Talmidei Chachamim? Talmidei Chachamim aren't getting any money. Serving in the army, you get money. So Chori would think that if you would serve, if you would get money, you can go away longer.
Right.
Right. And with Chamarim, it says only a week. Right? What did it say? Or Poalim, it says only a week.
Right.
So maybe Poalim should be longer.
Well, let's maybe ask a more basic question. That what taka is the difference? What taka is the difference? Why?
Why are Poalim only a week? And
1 second, I'm gonna just think right now. That's actually not really what we're talking about over here. That might help us. But let me hear again your question. We're asking. Let's just Al Gemara is discussing over here that with Rishus, and the Gemara tells us that there's a Derech Eretz factor, and the Gemara tells us that things are handled better. There's the Derech Eretz factor could be adjusted according to Harvoch. Fine. That's what the Gemara says over here. Right? Now, you're talking about what? Where are you?
Shmuel said, he said you need 2 months at home, and it's not good enough one month, because when it said one month, they were earning a lot of money.
Right.
But Talmidei Chachamim, they're not earning any money, so they have to be at home 2 months.
Right. Now, just remember, this is all discussing a situation of Rishus. Right? That's what we're talking about here.
All right.
Right? Okay, so bearing that in mind, now let's hear. Let's hear what you're asking. You still might have a valid point,
right.
But let's just...
Oh, but you're saying the mission was talking about Shiloh Berush, is fine. But nevertheless, it sounds like what Rashi would learn from this is that Berushus, it would be Derech Eretz even one month, if you were going for Parnassa, and you were making money. And it's you only need 2 months at home for Talmidei Chachamim who aren't earning any money. According to Shmuel.
Now let's see. The Gemara happens to be talking about Talmidim, right? The Gemara happens to be talking about Talmidim. So let's ask the Shai like this, right? What about Poyalim who go with Rishos, right? What's their are they any different? So now this chiluk of harvocha is there's only one sheet in the Gemara. This is Rabbi Yochanan holds like that, right? So we were just cheshbining now. If you call him Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan.
It's Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry, that's
the Shita in the Gemara. Now, what Havocha refers to? What Havocha refers to? So that maybe we have to establish to know. If that's what's happening by Poyalim. Hagam, that you're probably right, that a Poyal who's going away, right, he's probably going, you know, for Harvocha purposes, but there's two things that you have to know specifically what we're talking about. That first of all, that how much havocha is he making? It could be that he's going away because he's not covering, he's not doing so well here, right? So he's not really producing harvocha. That's one point b'chlal, and there's another factor over here that it's not guaranteed, right? By David HaMelech, you know, as Yaakov Bonham, you know, they was something that they were able to rely on, right? You know, right? Whereas that's, you know, someone's going, you know, I guess it depends on what the situation is, you know. I have to know exactly what it is, right? You know, he's taking on a new venture, you know. He was hired by, you know, and has a good job, good contract. Exactly, know exactly what it is to know whether it falls into the harvocha category. But that's all. Let's say according to Rabbi Yochanan, that harvocha factors in. According to Rav, we don't really have a source to such a thing. So, according to Rav, would there be any difference between, you know, between Talmidim and Poyalim? Any reason that there should be a difference?
No. Is the Pesukim talking about Talmidim?
No. The Pesukim or not.
Well, actually, now I'm almost thinking maybe Rav could say the other way. Rav said that Talmidei Chachamim, it's 1 month, 1 month. And the reason by the Beis HaMikdash was Efshar Al Yidei Acherim. So Luchara Talmidim aren't Efshar Al Yidei Acherim. They're the ones that need to learn, and other people can't learn for them, I guess. So what about Poalim? Maybe Poalim, that's called Efshar Al Yidei Acherim. Other people can do the work. Or do you say no? The other people will do the work, but they're not going to make the money.
Right.
But Lechara, what about Bali Lebanon? Did they make money or they didn't make money? when they went off, or they, I don't know if it's there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't know. Actually, maybe they were paid for their for their time, you know, whatever it was. But apparently, it was not it wasn't the harvocha, right? It wasn't. They didn't have a this overflow over there. Mzoinis and tachshiten, right? Now, I think I noticed over here that the Rosh talks about how do we paskin? What's the halacha? In this machlokes between Rav and Yechanan, smoke basil and olive.
In the Rosh, if you go to fifth parak, Afal Pi, and go to Kuf Tes.
So he brings because of Haram Halevi Zal, the Mistaver Rabbi Yochanan the Gomar Mibinyan Beis Hamikdash. It's interesting over here because I mean, there are klolim rather Rav and Yochanan who the halach is like. I'm not sure why they're not subject to the klolim. I see that the Korban Nisano asked the question. Okaimlan, Rabbi Yochanan, Loch Rabbi Yochanan. So he says that it's not really a halacha over here, right? The machlek is over here is in Derech Eretz, so therefore those klolim are non applicable. Right, the klom are when we're talking about halacha, what the halacha demands. But that's not really what we're talking about, discussing over here, and therefore, that's why the klom, how we pass them, don't apply. Are you looking for the Rosh over here? The Rosh is in Perek Afal Pi, right, the fifth Perek. See, at the beginning of each paragraph, there's a number. It should be Simen Chof Tes, number Chof Tes. See what that is? They give you the numbers over there at the beginning of each paragraph. They don't have there?
No, it's a little bit different. Yeah, but your paragraph is in the Sohar. So you need to get your paragraph in the Sohar.
Thank you.
This is Lamed Dalet. Lamed. Yeah, it's this paragraph here.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that that in the practical practice of this, how do you come out of the sugya? So there's the Rosh brings from the Ram HaLevi, that's his Rebbe. Mistavra Krabi Yochanan, the Gomer Mebinyan Beis HaMikdash. It sounds like he's being Machriya with a Mistavra, judging who Shita would be more Mistavra. And therefore, that means to learn from Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Which would explain, you know, that means that you have to assume that there was Ravcha. So according to that, then that Hogo should not be more than 1 to 2. Linear is up to Rosh, Kivan, the less can Elo Ucha de Milsa, since we're dealing with Ucha Milsa, Vihi Koyavi Rishos, Avdin Lahoka Karav. And this is how I believe it's passed in Shulchan Aruch, like it says in the Rosh, that since it's just a question of Ochre Milsa, the Ikra de Dina, she's really Moichel, and really what we're just dealing with is that what's the proper thing to do. So Zotimor, B'chai Gavna, we could be Meikel, like Rav, and we could go with the one-to-one system. Now the Rishonim talk about a question over here. If you look in the Tosfos, this Gemara seems to be saying that there's an Ochre d'Milsa even with Rishos, but there's a limit, right? According to the different sheetahs in the Gemara.
So why do you say Mekel? It sounds like it's Machner. You have to be only 1 month away.
But may the issue.
Not only one month at home.
Only 1 month at home. Oh.
Right. In other words, we'll be Mekel as far as the Chiyuv Yoina are concerned. Right, that's what it means, right? That's really what the whole issue over here is. Right, the Chiyuv Yoina. So we're being Mekel and we're allowing him to decrease. The key of Oina. That's what the cool over here is.
Home only 1 month.
Right. Instead of home, two months.
2 months.
Okay. Now, so Taisa asked the following question. Now, he brings Rashi. See the top Taisa's? Pish, b'kundrish la'yisol avchet afilu hu yochel afatoisa. We're talking about that she has, she's giving him rishos. Nevertheless, there's a derech eretz factor. Like we saw the Gemara Hemshech Hadaf that many Tanoim went for much longer years, right, to talk about over here. What happened to the Derech Eretz factor? Even if it was with Rishus, but the Gemara tells us that with Rishus there's a limitation. So Tosfos says the following answer: Yeishleimer, the Hosom, the Loi Piti, over there it was without convincing. The Rishus that was granted didn't require any convincing, any persuasion. B'loy pita hu smeichim shahoyu baleim holchin lilmud Torah v'liyes tamidei chachomim. On the contrary, right? Ad rabba, adai te dehochi nos v'shiyech lilmud Torah. The Tosfos tells us that there's another category over here. That we're talking discussing over here that a persuasion was necessary. And it wasn't something that was coming from the wife. So even though that there was a machila, but there's that feeling, that inner feeling in the heart that we have to deal with. That's the derech eretz that we're discussing over here. But all these other cases over there that convincing wasn't necessary. This is what the wives wanted to do. It was a simcha to them that their husband should go to learn, and that's something else over there, that there is no concern of derech eretz, and that's really limitless.
We're talking already that they were mekayim the mitzvah purvu.
So that's a good point. That is a good point. So that we have to take a look to see. I mean, it would. There is that pasuk Shmos in the Gemara from the stores that they came back and they saw children that they found that was their own children.
Right.
But that was only after, right? Meaning originally they would go away before the chasana, and then Rebbe's son wanted to make the chasana first. And then it seemed like that they said, "Oh, you know, Taka, that's a better way to do it." And then they had these two stories later where, yeah, they came. They
so
came to
so they're going away before the chasana. So then this whole thing, we're saying, when was that? Between what and what?
And originally, it seems like the earlier stories at the beginning of the Gemara, they would make Kedushin, they would go away, and then the Nisuin would be when they came back 12 years later. But then they had Rebbe's son who wanted to make, he wanted to make the Chasana right away. And they said, they brought a Raya from Sukkim by the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed like the later stories where they would make, I don't know if they were Mekayim exactly Pur Ravu, but they would stay at least they would make Nisuin and have Sheva Brachas. And then they went away and learned, and they came back and they had a child who was, 12-ish years old.
So Pur Ravu is only relevant after Nisuin.
Right.
So if they would go before Nisuin, then Pur Ravu is not a factor b'chlal. Right? As a matter of fact, really... As I'm talking, I'm thinking. Because till chuppah, regardless, there's no mitzvah, and he's not me'akapanim. Then he's also really one is really also to their wife till chuppah.
Right, but the chiyuv of pruer vo should machayev him to do nesu'in. Right, in other words, it's not that.
Oh, that's what you want to know. So that's a general question, right? That's a general question, and that really, I think the Rambam talks about over there. He talks about what the age of Nisuin is, and the Rambam says that. A person could be ma'acher, and I don't know what the guidelines are, but there is a concept of being ma'acher in order to be able to learn now he's talking about taka be ma'acher and assume that there shouldn't be any responsibility. So maybe that applies al koponim even by after erisin. It's primarily after the nisuin, which is the responsibilities which prevent the person from total dedication from learning. Right.
It's not easy because Chazal also said ben shmona shel chupa person should.
That's what I'm talking about. So it depends what the situation is. Right, that there is this concept. I don't know exactly how and why. Right? But the Rambam, I believe, says that a person could be ma'acher. Right? Whatever the point that is that in order to be able to learn Torah, which he otherwise would not have the ability to do.
And you were learning that, and I would have learned that. Even though he's got a chiyuv of pure revu, even though he's not married, but he, whatever, there's, he can push it off. He can push it off in order to learn Torah.
That's what he's talking about there. Right. I was saying that because he asked that question. I had said that the chiyuv pure revu, you're not going to have now until Nisuin.
So you're saying there's a sheet to learn that way?
That
the mitzvah pruvu is only after you make nisuin?
No. I was referring to was that right now he can't be mekayim anyways, right? So he asked me, is it true? But then he should have to get married, right? So on that I was saying, as far as getting married, that's right. But I don't think anyone. But once a person's married, then a person doesn't have the heter to be ma'acher nisuov. Right, and as once a person is takamuta leishto, a person doesn't have the heter now to say that I want to learn, so he's gonna go because you have the chiyuv of befoil,
the chiyuv of ona,
the chiyuv of ona. We're saying pruvu, which is mechayev person to put him into the position, right? That person could delay the keem of that, but I think that's only as far as that's concerned. Once a person's married, then the chiyuv is that the person can't just push that off. Now, let's see the Hemshech of Taisvis, because the Hemshech of Taisvis will touch upon what we mentioned before. What's with Poyalim? V'nir l'ri, the Poyalim koyv lo yatamidim. So the question over here was that we see that Tamid Chachomim in the stories of the Gemara, they were away for much longer than any of these two options than you have in the Gemara. So the first Tarsha Taisus was that's a different level. That's not what we're discussing over here. Those Tamid Chachomim, if there was no persuasion necessary, if that's really what the wives wanted, then there's no derech eretz limitation on that. The Ri says the apoyalim koyv lo yatamidim. In answer to this question, the Ri says that this sugya is taka only referring to poyalim. Tamidei chachamim don't have this limitation. When Talmud Torah is the factor, then it would look like we're not limited by derech eretz. Now, Tosis brings a ride to this. I don't want to right now go into that, but I just wanted to show you that you see in this read that the sugi is talking about Poyalim specifically, even though like that maybe the heading of the Gemara sounds like Tamid Chacham, but you know that's not necessarily so. You know, that's the beginning of the Mishnah. Case we just said over now right now with Taisus that the Taisus learns that in answer to this question that Taisus says in Echonami the sugi is not discussing Tamid Chacham. Tamid Chacham don't have this limitation, and that we would seem from what Taisus is saying now, right? B'mayin if this is true, but it would seem that Taisus is giving an alternate answer to the previous question. So that means that by Tamid Chacham, even if persuasion was necessary, then there's no Derech Eretz factor. It would seem like because we're dealing with Talmud Torah, so Talmud Torah, we don't have to deal with the Derech Eretz factor. It would look like that. That's what the cheshbon is. Dafka poyalim. So according to that this whole Gemara is discussing poyalim, and now Tosfos Taka asks the question, right? And this is what we'll see when we get to discussing. Look at the im toimer over there, like 3-4 lines from the bottom. Im toimer vehechi kama besamach shani hosam. Is your question, right?
Right, but I was asking Rashi.
Okay.
Okay, in Rashi Shita. Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. That's the Yuchesh in Rashi. That could be for that reason. The Taka doesn't apply. And we'll see what this, because the Hemshech in Taisus seems to be that he's asking it according to this Shita. Right, so maybe there's a mashmois that according to Rashi and Echonami, you know, being that the sugi is talking about Tamid Chachamim, so no, maybe in Echonami. But Taisus answered, "Yesham the Rav Chada Hosan the Melech Samelech Nafish." Right, see, Taisus speaks out this thing that the Havocha fact that we're talking about is not necessarily something that Poyalim have, even if they're going, you know, not necessarily have this harvocha.
The rough of the poalim, does that mean there were a lot of poalim? Many? Or they were getting good pay?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara is talking about, pay.
Pay.
The pay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's, the Gemara said that in the context that one could be away for longer if there's a compensation of pay. Yeah. Right? Now, Taisa over here is asking really the question that Michael started cheshvening. That poyalim, they're going away, it would seem like there's ravcha, right? So poyalim shouldn't be limited. you know, in this machlokes. Now Taisus, Michael was chesmin shitas Rashi, that in shitas Rashi maybe that's true because Rashi talks in context really with Talmidim. But this Taisus is going now that the sugi is discussing poyalim. Is the sugi discussing poyalim? And then it's already a question over here that isn't there harvocha by poyalim also? And that the answer is going to have to be that the harvocha that they have bakma is not the payalm, not the harvocha that this more is discussing over here. That by the Melch, this is something that they were in a comfortable situation, that was an incentive, but your average poyel that's going away. Like we said, one of two things, right? You know, either that what he's making is not going to be, you know, the sum total is not necessary. And you have this other factor also that it's not necessarily batuach, right?
You're saying even Rashi could hold that way. We don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have, sorry, if you're done, how do you think the Rosh is passing? Is he passing according to Rashi, according to the first sheet in Tosfos, or according to the Ri?
So you have to see if he discusses that. See, he seems to be. Let's see if the Rosh asks Tosfos question. I mean, the way he's talking, Gratis sounds like that. She needs to be convinced, right? And that's right. That's what he's saying, because right? that's what the Uchad and Milsa, the Derech's factor is that it's a Dovah Shel Tzar, right? Even though she gave a shus, either pious or she's embarrassed, right? Not to hold him back, but leave him as the Eris. Right, so that might be mashma that, you know, if it wasn't necessary to give in, so like Taisu says.
So maybe like the first sheet in Tosos.
Yeah.
You think that's how he's going?
We have to see, if the Rosh speaks out the Shaila over here and see the whole thing. But that would be much more from my component from that chiluk of the Rosh. Okay, let's see.
Oh, he's saying in many cases that going to learn Torah is put ahead of Derech Eretz.
Yeah, I mean, according to this second sheet in Taisus Akoponim. Right.
What I'm wondering is, you have a cloud. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah should be Derech Eretz first. So,
what this means like this is that there's in a general oifen. See, when we say Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that means right that. One has to establish and honor Derech Eretz, and Torah shouldn't be used to trample, right? But what we're discussing over here is, I think it's something a little more fine tuned over here, right? That we are reckoning with an inner feeling which. Betzem, like we're saying, she's moichel, right? But there's a special sensitivity that we're reckoning with, which is beyond the requirements of halacha. So in such a thing like this, then it could be that you have to weigh what's on the other side of it. I mean, Torah has a certain chashivas of it. So I wouldn't call this trampling on someone's feelings, right? Like I'm saying, because essentially, so this is being oversensitive. The truth that you find is another chazal, which also, you know, it needs explanation, but you see this idea, you know, it has its guidelines. It has its guidelines. You know, I'm a little hesitant to say it over, but I'll say it anyways. But I think, you know, you see. I think the point over here is that when you're dealing with something which is so fundamental, something so essential, like Talmud Torah, so there are different cheshbonos. Now, of course, you're right. You know, it's not a license to do what you want. But that's what you see. This Chazal, let's say, something like this, that Ein Odom Oymir Al Devei Torah, I don't know if it's exact lotion, Elon Kein Nase Achzori Al Ishtev Al Bnei Beisei. Such an expression like that, right? Which means, you know, in a general sense, that in order for a person to be matzliach in his learning, he has to be able to devote his time and his concentration to his learning. Now, if he takes to every women desire of his bnei bayis, then that'll hold him back from getting to where he needs, and therefore there's the midah of achzoris. Of course, we're not talking, you know, using it in a great way, but sometimes that it's necessary that not to allow certain fine-tuned sensitivities to get in the way of right. So that's what we're discussing over here, right? I'm just giving you over a little bit what this is, but no, that's a good question. It's a good question.
How does that expression go? In and
I'm not sure if I'm saying it over right now. But the maybe Oymir Al Devei Torah, funny to you, but the Lashon of Chazal is Ache Nasa Achzori Al Ishto Ibnei Beisei. Chazal used the term as if, like, you know, Achzori. Of course, it doesn't mean, you know, in that way. But what it means is that a person has to be able to
focus on,
to rule over his emotions, right? You know, and that's what it means. So the concept of achzori is to quiet emotions, right? Not relate to the emotions, right? You know, so that's it. You know, that's everything has its time and place. Okay. Good question. Okay, let's see. Let's see more a little further. Okay, I'm gonna jump over this next Gemara over here, the Anocho Gemara, which doesn't relate to us directly. You know that we should have cover a little more. Let's see, Zot Gemara Vayit. Okay, we just jumped to the two dots. Zot Gemara, Hatayol Amar B'chol Yoyim. Zot Gemara, Mai Tayolim. Omar Rava, so this is Machlok Sin Gemara, what Tayolim refers to. Omar Rava, B'nei Pirki. B'nei Pirki, right? These are really Talmidim, right? Pirki refers to those who learn Shoyin Pirkum. Zokrashi, Rashi says B'nei Pirki. Talmidim Sheharav Motzi Lam B'Iran. Talking about Talmidim. They learn. The Rav is there in the city. V'Shoyin Pirkum V'Lonim B'Veisam. They're learning in the city, and they go home every night. They're home. So these people are in the category of the Tayolim. Now Taisvi says if you look in the Taisis, Tayolim, what's this word Tayolim? What is the mashmois of the word? Taisis al shem shidarkam betula dapadnayu. The Loshon Tayolim over here is Loshon of Tula. Tula is the Arami word of Tzeil, shade. Shade. Right? Tayolim, those who are in the shade. Right? It refers to the shade of their home. In other words, those that are available at home.
Apandayu is their home, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it refers to. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, still one would need to still explain. I mean, don't we have poyalim who work in the city? I mean, how are they different? How are they different? Right? If the fact just is that their day is spent in town and therefore they're home every night. So don't the poyalim also have that?
Poyalim sounds like the more physical work.
Okay. So that could be. So this is the other factor that was mentioned. You know, the physical condition of the person. I mean, definitely we'll see that in the Hemshech HaGemara. The truth is that. I mean, you see that even amongst those that learn, there's a difference, right? Because the price that we saw was mentioned that Tamid Chachamim is Pamachas B'Shavua, right? So these Bnei Pirkei, even though, you know, essentially everyone's learning, but it seems to be that there's a different level of involvement, right? Which has a bearing. Oh. Okay, but we'll see. The more right now is going to ask a question. Right? We'll see what this is. Fretting more like this. Omer Abaye, man dechsev behu shovachem mashkim ekum achir shev zeich alech matzovim ki yitl yidi yishen avom av yitzkel in shusim shum lechachom shmanad yishinam eneim boilm hazeh ubo yisleim habo vat ame pnei pirki. Asks the Gemara. Fretting more a question that how is that possible? How is that possible that we know concerning Talmidei Chachamim that the Gemara that darshens the pasuk that nishoseim or medan shimeinim that they have to work hard to stay up late for the husbands to come home, so they don't the practice of Talmidei Chachamim. They don't have the ability or the availability for Oina B'chol Ayla. So how could you possibly say that the Tayolim are the Bnei Pirkei? Now, so probably what we want to know over here is that first of all, like this, is that one shaila over here is that why did Abaye have to ask, you know, from a member of Rabbi Yitzchak. I mean, you know, poik chazi. You know, what's happening over here? You got to ask an apostle, you know, to do that. See, it's. I mean, one might want to say that the fact that they're doing it. It's not right. Maybe they're doing wrong. So on that, he's showing that the pasuk justifies that. But it's. Very suspicious. But the other question over here is that Taka, what Abaye hold, right? What the Rava hold? What Taka is the machlokes over here? What's the difference of opinion? Rabbi says Bnei Pirkei, and Abaye says that Bnei Pirkei don't have the availability. Now, Bechlal, are Bnei Pirkei taka taka these tamidei chacham necessarily. What is Bnei Pirkei referred to? Right, sounds like something more that is a dover portion that the pasuk is describing Bnei Pirkei over here. Right, this is what it is. Then let's just get a little bit of tzura over here. I mean, it would seem like that this was the practice, this was the expectation, this was the norm that they would learn, you know, in the base medrash. You know, Hagam, they lived at home, but they learned till the late hours of the night. So they need, you know, they're a couple of hours of sleep, whoever it was. No,
but both of them are learned. Is that what it is?
See, the Gemara itself sounds like that it's all in the same, right? That's what this Gemara seems to say. But the Gemara asks the Kasha from this Maramokum. That means Rava understood that there was a Tamil Chochem that's Pamachas B'Shavua, right? So apparently he understood that there could be two brackets. The Maramokum that the Gemara is asking from is that even the group that you're talking about is also can't be. Probably as a result of this, so the Bnei Pirkei now fall into the din of Tamidei Chachamim, right? The halacha of Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. So I don't know what the machlekes, you know, over here is, but it would seem to me that I'm just pointing out like this, is that even without this Maran Mokum that he asked from, right, this pasuk over here, but there's a braisa, I believe, right, that the braisa says that the chiv oina of a Tamil Chochem is Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Olei Leibol. Right, we will start tomorrow. We have that. Where is that tomorrow? Here, on some of the base. Actually, maybe make a mistake. It's not a Bryson. Amar Hilma Shmuel, Merv Shabbos of Shabbos. Oyna Shtamir Chachom Emas. Me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. Okay, so maybe make a mistake. Maybe there is no. I thought it was a Braisa. It's not a Braisa, so then maybe they're stuck in another question. Not a question, so I have to back off from that. Right. You know, as I was asking that, what did Rava hold about this source? So maybe that didn't have this source. But I think it's Meduik and Igmore that he's saying Bnei Pirkei. It sounds like he's talking referring to a certain group of people. He doesn't say El Tamidei Chacham. I'd say it would sound like that Rav is referring to a certain group of Bnei Pirkei. And on that, the Gemara asks that even the Bnei Pirkei, their schedule, wouldn't create a chiyuv of b'chol yom. Okay, but what exactly the machlokes over here is, I don't know. I don't know. The Gemara seems to say for Dovah Poshet. Yam Pnei Pirki. Rashi says. Va'at Amr Yesh Lahem Pnei Lo'oina B'chol Laila. There's no time. There's no time. Busy schedule. Just a limited amount of sleep time. Just to give them their kaiches, that they're not the people here that it's proper to say that the chiv en would be every night. So long as Zot Mar Ela Omar Abaye, Kida Rav. Rav himself said pshat in the Mishnah who the Tayol Amor. Domarav Kohen Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Toach Midei B'Shos Midei B'Goni B'Tul LePadna. The Gemara describes a person as follows. Right? He happens to be Mishum Bar Shilas. Rashi says he was a Mlam and Tinoikis. Ochu Midideh Vishosim Midideh, that he had Parnoso. He was able to support himself with what he did. Apparently, what he did was a lighter job, right? Maybe you have to speak to the mechanchim today whether they agree with that. What do you say, Michael?
Right. I don't know.
Maybe more challenging today.
Once you get your
today.
Classes doing, you don't have to give it mark papers.
Yeah, I could pun och me today, v'shas me today. Does that apply today also? I don't know. Vigani betula da padne v'loy cholef priste kod malka above. The messenger from the melech, those who recruit the service of the king, don't come to his house. Rashi says that apparently someone who the Malchus considers someone who has wealth, then he has obligations, seemingly even personal obligations, to do service, right? And that would take his time in Kaychus. But such a person over here, that he's someone that even though he has support, but his kind of occupation, his situation is one that doesn't attract the Malchus, and therefore his lifestyle is one of a lighter schedule. So he's the type of person that he has what he needs. He's not exerting himself. He has time. He has the koyches. Such a person would be mechuyev oyna b'chol yoyim.
Well, another explanation I see here is that it's referring to taxes.
Yeah.
That he was considered poor, so they didn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
But other people, these were the tax collectors that came by.
Mm-hmm. Now, but how do you understand? How does that have a bearing on his chiyav oina? If it just refers to paying taxes, so you know, it would sound like, I mean, a person who's not should pay taxes, but you don't become poor from that, right?
Right.
Right. So that's why I heard better this explanation that its taka refers to avodas hamelech. Right, that's how it would have a bearing on his chiyav oina, if that's what we're discussing.
These people had to be out doing avodas hamelech that much.
So that's a good question. Also, it seems a little. I don't know what the dynamics were, but someone who's an usher, right? So even if he has to, you know, pay time, but he would be doing it himself. Is that what was done, or they specifically wanted it like that? That way they could be in control. I'm not so clear exactly what, right. Like what it was.
I mean, coming back just on this small bar
Barshilas.
Barshilas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lachor. I mean, Abai is coming to say that he's not like B'nai Pirkei. Lachor, he was learning at night.
So I don't know. Yeah. And also,
he says here that because he had the Talmidim during the daytime, he didn't stay up late at night.
That's what they said.
Yes, he says. Yeah.
Oh, maybe that,
because he's a teacher.
I mean, so for his responsibility,
right?
His responsibility. Okay, maybe that's what it is.
He was forbidden to impair his ability to work properly and depriving himself of food or sleep.
Very good. Okay, so that's very good. That's very good. Let me see that again. So maybe that's really all part of this. Was that, you know, he was supported well in order that Hitaka should have the koyches and the ability that's necessary to do that. Right? So that all created a situation by him that he happens to be that person that concerning the chivayna, you know, he's
he wasn't wealthy, but he had enough.
Okay, very good, thank you. Now let's see the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara. Who was that? Who was that quoted from?
He says this is Yerushalmi cited by Ramah and Yeruday.
Okay, fine, very good. Zoch the Gemara. Kiyosa Ravin Omar Kigoy Mefanki de Marovin. Ravin explained that the Tatayolim in the Mishnah refer to Mefanki Dimarov. Rashi says Mefanki Dimarov. B'neretz Yisrael Me'unogim B'maychul Uvemishte V'kachim B'riim Ubali Koyach L'Tashmish. This refers to B'nei Eretz Yisrael. It would seem over here that this was just the right word is cultural or something like that. That you know, in Eretz Yisrael, it sounds like that things were more available, and they were able to live a lifestyle to promote brius, and that's why they were stronger and healthier. In Bavel, apparently, maybe food wasn't so available, and therefore people were not necessarily in the state of strong health. I mean, usually it goes together when, you know, food is plentiful, so you don't have to work too much, right? So, you know, you have what to give you the nutrition, and you don't have things that you have to exert. But when things are not so available, so you don't have so much to eat, so the nutrition level is weak, and even to have to put food on your table, you have to work. So those two factors have effect on the chivayna.
Now the Gemara didn't seem to say that there was a different. I mean, we had a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan before, and the Gemara doesn't seem to say that maybe one was Bevavel and one was Beretz Yisrael, that there is a difference. Here they seem to be making such a difference, but.
Okay, that's a point. See, the machlokes before. Let's see. Let's just try to think about that. What they're discussing really is the derech eretz mitzad the isha. Right, that's what they're discussing. Right, her need. Right, so could be that's why.
There's no difference.
That, yeah.
Okay.
The Gemara says over right now, just a couple of ma'isim to show us this concept of mefaki dimarova. Huh? within Tamid Chachamim, Rabbi Avo have a koi bebani, have a samchul tre avdi. Rabbi Avo, he was in a bathhouse. He was being supported by two servants, you know, helping him move around. If ches bebani mituse, so the floor fell in. Yisramle amud of solik vaskin. The Gemara says that he grabbed hold of a beam to catch himself from falling, and he grabbed onto the two servants and he hoisted them with him to safety. Right, so this shows them, you know, unbelievable strength. Now, right, just to understand what this means. I mean, you know, you could have mafaki marava, you could have, you know, you have plenty of food, but that does it do that? Right? I would think, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, Liyan Hor, our situation is probably, we probably live, you know, Mefankid America, right? Probably, you know, what we have, you know, today, you know.
I always felt like in Eretz Israel, the people, they seem a little bit stronger.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it's the, they use the Lashon Mefanki, but I always thought it was something about Eretz Israel.
Definitely.
The food there, whatever it is.
You don't see so many people overweight like here. Like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Oh, yeah? You notice that?
I go in the subway when I used to go.
Yeah.
You see people overweight and sitting there eating while they're in the subway. Yeah.
Yes. Now it's interesting. And you know, once he mentioned that, because you know, we know that you know, the Rabbi Yochanan, what Taka says about Rabbi Yochanan, he Taka was rather large. And this Amaroim, whatever, you know, why that was so. And from this vegan, you know, he has the strength over here. So for some reason, it doesn't seem to have been a contradiction. I don't know, and I had to understand that.
Right, I wasn't sure if maybe he might have been, that might have been later in his life. Because it also says he used to stand by the mikveh. Mm. He was very good looking. That the women would come out and they would have a patient.
So b'chlal, that it being heavy apparently in those days was something which was looked down as beauty. Apparently it was something that showed that you were able to afford to eat, and as opposed to someone that, you know, was skinnier, that gave off the impression that you don't have the ability, somehow that worked its way into the makeup of how the person appeared.
Okay.
Right?
I hear. That's not a steer.
Right, you know, it's even by women that there was this idea. There's a, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a beged. I think it was some kind of ornament called a katlo, maybe we called a choker, something like that. It was done in order to somehow make someone look like that they're a little bit heavier or something like that. Wow. You know,
that in all societies, beauty and looking healthy are tied together. And so when you live in a time where there's a lot of starvation, so there the heavier you were was more of a sign of health.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So Rabbi Yochanan was a large man and strong. Large and strong.
Rabbi Yochanan would call Kavakosol Vidago. Have a sample from Rabbi Ami Virabbi Asi. If his dago to say, Solfaskin. A similar story. Omri le Rabbonan. Vachim Achet the Hochi. Lomo le Mismeche. So, obvious question. I mean, someone that has such strength, why is he walking around with supports over here? Gotta save my strength. Right, so this also is a little bit difficult to understand what this means. See, if the situation was such, and maybe this has to do with what we just mentioned before. The question we're asking over here is that you know, everyday activity, you know, is not going to cause a person not to have a right? That
not
was
to
not to have the, to, you know, his strength, you know, when he gets older, right? Right.
So someone
wanted to say that maybe in these situations over here, these stories, it was a situation of exertion. Exactly, you know, in the Beit B'ni, right? Whatever went on over there, Bechin climbing up a staircase, right? Maybe that's what it was, you know. So Hitaka was, it wasn't normal everyday activity. There was a level of exertion there, and that's why, you know, when it would require exertion, that's when he had his things. According to what we just said before, maybe if it's true, Taka Bechin was heavy, so. Maybe then there was an exertion, you know, in the everyday moving around. It's, you know, people that tackle, you know, are heavy. You know, every move, you know, every, you know, just regular walking around is breaks a sweat. Yeah. What are you saying?
I mean, if he was just pulling up the avodim who maybe were smaller than him, then fine. But he held up his own weight and the avodim.
Right. Rashi says that with one hand he held two of them.
Right. So
it's amazing, you know, what kind of strength that is. And it's hard for me to relate to that. But like upon this prat that we're just touching on over here, this musug, right? Right, so I could hear the concept that a person is careful not to exert themselves. Right, because that I think would make sense. A person who's constantly exerting themselves, then, you know, then could have long term effects on that.
Rashi saying he lifted the two of them at the same time.
Yeah, I mean,
one by one.
No, this all happened at the same time. The step fell in. You know, you only have one chance. All right, by the baby knee. So you know, right. Okay. Okay, let's go late over here. Okay, let's just say over this, what was this next Gemara over here, quickly. Pe'alim shtayim b'shabbos. For tan yefreti Gemara pe'alim achas b'shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yosi, Reb Chanina, v'kasha kan ba'isin melocha b'iron, kan ba'isin melocha b'ir acheres. Zot Gemara that in pe'alim, the occupation of pe'alim, there are really two types. And it has a bearing on the chiyuv oino that if they're doing melacha ba'oisi year, that's when it's beis pa'amim b'shavua. And if it's oisi melacha b'ir acheres, that's when the halacha is that it's pam'achas b'shabbos. Tanya mihochi, it's mevuah this chiluk in the braisa. Now, just give you the Maramachm over here because it's late. But if you look in the Taisvis develops that in truth that there are three levels. If you look over here in the Taisvis, we'll jump to Veri Berabor Chaya Oimer. You see where there's a little more than halfway down. The Gimel Midas B'Poyalim. There really are three different categories of Poyalim. Hoisin Melocho B'Iron, that Shtayim B'Shabbos, because Namas Nisan. Uve Braisu. Namas Nisan. Uve Braisu, Bo'isin Melocho B'Iracheres. Now we have those that are oisim melacha in Ir Acheres, there's two practices of doing melacha b'Ir Acheres. You have those that do melacha b'Ir Acheres and they travel back and forth every day. V'chozrim b'chol yom leveisam. That's achas b'Shabbos. V'fi sheyesh lahem torah chaderah. They're home every night. And the reason why their chiyuv oino is limited is because of the Torah HaDerech that's involved. Avol oisim she'ein chayzen lebeisam. But you have a poel that's oisim aloch b'ir acheres and he doesn't come home every night. Bein hayim hagam, bein loy hayim inagam. Okay, we're not getting into that. That's where Tosis comes from. Their din is that they're out the whole week. So chayzim b'chol yom shmini, they have a different shear. That means rather once a week means once every 7 days. That's for those who oisin loch b'ircheres and they come home, so they're betim home, and their chiv is limited because of the Torah. Then you have people who taka are away. And the issue over here is to call them home because of their chiyuv ayna. So this already, it's not once a week, but they have the right to be away a whole week, and after the completion of the week, that's when their chiyuv ayna is, and therefore they're coming back once every 8 days. And you see the Tosfos exactly where that comes from. It comes from, you know, the aloch of Ein Rishus. But that's akoponim, the sheet is at Tosfos over here. So when the Gemara says, these two halachas, the poel, in truth, that it's that there's a third halacha also. All right, okay, we'll hold that over here. We'll hold that here. Yeah.
So that means they would be away for a Shabbos.
Yeah. Right.